I want to talk about sort of a philosophical topic. I want to talk about situational ethics, and particularly in regard to three mitzvot that appear in this parsha. But that sounds like a big fancy term, and all situational ethics means is you're caught in a situation, it's complicated, and you try to figure out what the right thing is. And as I was preparing for this parsha, I looked at these three mitzvot, which two of which I find very disturbing, and one of which I can connect to. One is the mitzvah of the Eshet Yifat Toar, of the beautiful woman captured in war. The other is about a husband who has two wives, one whom he loves, one whom he hates, and the property rights that have to go to the firstborn son, even if it's a son from the hated wife. And the third concerns a rebellious child, the rebellious son, who, after being warned, is put to death. These are all kind of difficult mitzvahs. I know, this is part of the Torah, too. And as I was reading it, what came up to me was a case of the Sentinelese tribe, which I've been following since the year about 2015. This is one of the last Paleolithic peoples on the planet. They're located on an island off India. And at this point, India protects them with about a 3-mile barrier because they are Paleolithic. And they live on an island about the size of Manhattan. And there's probably only about 100 of them, which gives you some idea of what Manhattan was originally like, but also, you know, the carrying capacity of the land. And they make the news on occasion when our world collides with their world. Back in 2015, there was a baby who was born who was, one of the parents was from the outside world and one was from their tribe, and the child, this baby, was found murdered. And India wrestled, what do you do in a case like this? And they decided not to force punishment at all because they wanted to maintain the integrity and the isolation of that tribe. And this baby represented someone in between. And it was, talk about situational ethics, a really hard case. And then just about a year ago, there was a Christian missionary who thought he was going to go in there and bring the light of Christianity to these savages in his perspective, and he didn't make it out alive either. So, interesting case, and in some ways it's easier for us to listen to because it's over there, it's a different people, it's Paleolithic, and yet sometimes when we read the Torah, we're confronted with a very different time zone, right? An ancient world that our ancestors came in. And this first one is a mitzvah that I really struggle with. A woman is captured in war, and the Torah sets up boundaries to protect her so that she shouldn't become a slave, which was common at the time. And so from that context, the Torah is this elevating document trying to protect a woman. From our perspective, looking back, we're horrified that such a law even needs to be on the books, and yet there it is. The second one, I don't know very many people, right? Most of us, one spouse is enough, and we can, right? We learn all we need to learn about how to be a human being and how to share and to know it's not all about us. And this is a horrible case about having this man who has two wives, one who he hates, and that he might disadvantage the child's property rights. And the whole thing boggles our mind, and yet from within their custom and time, where primogeniture, where inheritance of the first child was the rule, the Torah comes to maintain stability and a sense of what is morally correct. That just because I stop loving you doesn't mean I have the right to disadvantage your son from me. And so again, the Torah is elevating it in a way that's hard for us. And the final one is this Ben Sorer Moreh, the rebellious child, who is literally, if they doesn't listen to mom and dad, they're taken out into the public square and they're stoned to death. I told you I liked one of these mitzvot more than the others. This is not it. But the rabbis didn't like it either, and they wrote it out. They basically made this to be like a week-long period in the life of a child, right? And that these impossible conditions had to be met for it even to apply. They defined what it meant to be rebellious to such a narrow place that the law disappeared from being able to be used. And so again, this was a law that was made to sort of, you need order, and if there's not some sort of agreements between the generations, all of society breaks down. So what I want to leave you with, right, it feels to me sometimes in our country that we're dealing with different time zones, we're dealing with different periods, and that the way we struggle with ethics often is so hard for us to understand the ethics of the other, right? We're not surprised by this. But I offer this as maybe a way to sort of attune us if we can look for what is ethical from within a worldview, even if we don't accept it. We can have a certain compassion for it in the way that the government of India does with the Sentinelese. We can have a little compassion for those who are different than we are. And we can also remember when we're caught in our own difficult ethics that the Torah comes to give us tools, not answers, but tools so that we can navigate and find the right answers in the challenges that every life faces. May we all, during this new year, find ways to do that a little bit better in our relationships.